Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater living in Canby, Oregon. Today is Wednesday, July 12th, 2023. Today we are reading from the Big Book. You'll find us in the chapter Working with Others on page 93, and we're going to study paragraph 1 today that begins with when dealing with such a person and ends with no matter what your own convictions are. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Elaine B., the 12 traditions, Kathy M. Reading the text today will be Shelley E., followed with support by Penny L. C. Greeting newcomers today, listen for Abby D. for that towards the end of the unrecorded portion of the meeting. And then the top of the hour, the last 2 minutes, listen for Betsy H. to read the announcements. You don't want to miss any of that. The share ID number for yesterday's 10 a.m. meeting, Tuesday, July 11th, 20430, 20,430. That's the 10 a.m. yesterday. And this morning, the 7 a.m. meeting, share ID number for Wednesday, July 12th, 20436, 20,436. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery, and I would like to ask Elaine B. to please read those 12 steps of OA.
Thank you so much. One, we admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Thought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you very much, Elaine D. I'm sorry, Elaine D. Elaine B. for stepping in this morning. I'd like to now ask Kathy M. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. This is Kathy M. from Michigan, recovered just for today. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for allowing me to serve today, and I hope everyone has a lovely day.
Thank you very much, Kathy M., for reading those traditions for us this morning. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your share be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 immediately to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and a quieter recording, everyone's phone except the speakers, the one speaking at the moment, should be muted by using star 1 key function only, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book and the chapter Working with Others. We're on page 93 today. We're going to be studying the first paragraph, and it begins with, when dealing with such a person, and ends with, no matter what your convictions are. And I would like to ask Shelley E. to please read that paragraph this morning for us and describe how she utilizes that particular paragraph as we get started this morning, and then we'll open it up to the rest of the fellowship after that. Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning, Melanie. Well, wonderful. Good morning, my fellows. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Petoskey, Michigan, presently. The Big Book, page 93. When dealing with such a person, you had better use everyday language to describe spiritual principles. There's no use arousing any prejudice he may have against certain theological terms and conceptions about which he may already be confused. Don't raise such issues, no matter what your own convictions are. I'm going to look just a little bit behind on the last paragraph, just because it tells me above, stress the spiritual feature freely. If the man be agnostic or atheist, make it emphatic that he does not have to agree with your conception of God. And for me, when I'm first talking to a new sponsee or you know, whatever you want to call the people we work with, I am very careful not to use flowery language or denominational language. I try very hard because I don't know at that point what that person's been through. I don't know what their exposure's been. What I do know is that they're in need. They need help, and they're telling me probably that they need a higher power of some sort. It could be anything, and I really try and stress that for people because just because I know for myself what I believe in, but it doesn't mean we all do. We all have our own different higher power. What I do tell people is I came into the program thinking I just couldn't believe it. I probably didn't even need that chapter on agnostics because, you know, I was just so spiritual. I wasn't religious, but I was spiritual. But come to find out, I had many pockets of agnosticism, one in particular being my children. I was the mother sitting at home waiting for my children to get home at night, worrying, you know, being fearful, or fearful if they were, I have three alcoholic children, fearful if they were drinking, fearful if they were going to get hurt. And that's just one example of agnosticism that I had in my life. But I shared that with my prospective sponsees because I was surprised. I was surprised to find out that while I thought I was giving everything to my higher power, I most certainly was not. I was living in fear in many aspects of my life. And as we know, fear and faith cannot coincide. So that's one of the examples that I give to prospective sponsees. And I always ask them, the main thing is, it says above, the main thing is that he be willing to believe in a power greater than himself and that he lives by spiritual principles. I use the steel girder a lot as an example. And I will take people to the chapter of We Agnostics just to kind of point out some things as we're first starting and talking about a higher power. And it says, don't raise such issues no matter what your convictions. I don't try and convince anybody because that's my God's or my higher power's job. It's not my job to determine what their higher power is. It's just my job to be there for them and be a conduit of my higher power to them. Anyways, with that, I'll pass it. Everybody have a great day.
Good timing, it sounds like, huh? Thanks very much, Shelley, for getting us started this morning. Now it's going to be open up to the remainder of the fellowship to comment on paragraph 1, page 93 of the Big Book, Working with Others, when dealing with such a person and ends with no matter what your own convictions are. If you'd like to share, I'd like to get your first name, the first initial of your last name, and perhaps your state. And I wanted to just gently remind you that we value everyone's experience here, everyone, and we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might also be able to share their experience as well with their eagerness. So I'm ready to take some names today.
Christy M.
Donna
Christy
B.
Christy M. Donna B.
Robin B.
Robin B. Oh, P.
Kathleen O.
Kathleen O. Got you there. Thanks. Okay, it sounds like that's a good lineup. We'll go with that. Christy M., Donna B., Robin P., Kathleen O. Your 3 minutes start right now. Christy, good morning to you.
Good morning. This is Christy M., grateful recovering overeater and bulimic anorexic in Portland, Oregon. Yeah, and I appreciate everyone's service today. And I think in hearing that passage, what kind of came up for me is something that I struggle with, and one of my character defects is really not accepting other people's behavior and wanting people to see things our way. And I go back to the principles of this program, that it's a program of attraction, not promotion. And a lot of what brings up our resentment and feelings that drive us to the food are when we don't accept life on life's terms. And one of the hardest life on life's terms thing that I have trouble accepting is other people's behavior. And that could be their faith or their perspective on higher power. It could be their perspective on recovery. It could be their perspective on food. I have a mother who is definitely struggles with eating and, you know, is not willing at this time when I've talked about, you know, my experience to go to OA or do any sort of recovery program, and that's hard. It's kind of like that with higher power. You know, I have people that just aren't willing, you know, to hear that message. And it's a good reminder that that's not what our program is. It's about living life on life's terms, and also it's about being attraction, not promotion. So it's not about how I tell them about my higher power or how I tell them about recovery. It's about how I live my life and attract people. So that's just a good reminder to me to take my focus on what others are doing and other people's behavior and keep the focus on myself and remember that when I'm working my program, when I have a relationship with my higher power, that's the best way to attract people to the program or to be able to share my story. And that's really difficult because a lot of people's behavior can be difficult, or their lack of interest in recovery or their lack of interest in a higher power. But it's just keeping the focus on ourselves and living life on life's terms, accepting people for where they're at today and trusting my higher power's plan. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much. Christy M. from Oregon. Next up is Donna B., followed by Robin P. in three. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning. This is Donna B. I'm a compulsive overeater in Denver, Colorado. I love the reference earlier in the book to the spiritual realm being broad and roomy. And in my experience, I have had many years of uncertainty as to what my concept of a higher power is, and a lot of agnosticism, a lot of not knowing, a lot of not understanding. And many people have called me over the years because they feel safe and comfortable with my posture that I just don't know. I don't know. I've accepted that a higher power is a mystery. I have often shared that I don't have a concept of a higher power, but rather an experience of a higher power. I'm grateful that in the A, B, and C's, it says God could and would if he were sought. And my uncertainty about what a higher power is has never precluded me from working any of the steps in the Big Book. I am asked over and over again to seek that higher power. And I have found in my experience that everybody in these rooms are seekers, and that there's a space for all of us to continue that process of seeking with curiosity. I enjoy the opportunity to speak with people who have strong convictions about their higher power, especially when they offer me the opportunity to borrow their higher powers. And I also really enjoy the opportunity to speak with people who are really, really uncertain. And I find some sincerity in those people who can just say, you know, I really don't know. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Donna. Donna B. from Colorado. Next up, Robin P., who's stateside today. Good morning to you, followed by Kathleen.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Melanie, for your service and everyone who makes this meeting possible. I'm Robin P., and I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater currently in Sarasota, Florida, this week. And you know, I came into the room a devout atheist. I was raised an atheist, and I saw God on the walls and ran and just thought, oh, my gosh, they substituted one crutch for another. How can I do this? And I so desperately need this help. I was a very low bottom bulimic, and I just really needed help. And somebody in the program just said, you know what, just any power, just turn your will and your life over to any power greater than your God, which is food. And it can be anything that is a positive power that you can just act as if until you can believe in something greater than your food God. And I just really, really appreciated that. And, you know, this program was the bridge to God for me, because I never could have come to believe in God without this bridge and this gentle bridge to God. And it didn't hit me over the head. It didn't say, no shame, no, you have to believe what we believe. And And I had a spiritual awakening after that of the profound variety with a voice and everything that led me to the God of my understanding today. But only because of this gentle bridge. And I was so desperate for help. And the food God had not worked at all for me. And, you know, that definition of insanity, every day doing the same thing over and over again, hoping for a different result. And hoping for a different result from myself, thinking that I was powerful and that I could control this. And I couldn't control it. And every time I acted out with food, I had two problems instead of one. And it just, it was literally living in hell and wanting to die. And today I have the opposite of that. You know, we're traveling around the country, especially in the Southeast, looking for a home for half the year, if that's God's will. And we have these two newly retired jungle dogs from Costa Rica with us. And it's literally turning our will and our lives over to the care of God every day in a whole different way. I could never be doing this if I weren't abstinent and recovered and working a program alongside of all of you and having a God squad and having the love and guidance from God in this program. I'm so grateful to all of you. God bless everybody with a very blessed abstinent day I pass. Thanks, Melanie.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks, Robin P. Before and while Kathleen Noah is getting up to the mic here to share on the topic this morning, I'd like to let folks know in 3 minutes we're going to open it up for additional comments on paragraph 1, page 93 of your big book, Working with Others. So get prepared for that in 3 minutes. Otherwise, let's welcome Kathleen O. Hey, good morning to you.
Good morning, Melanie. This is Kathleen O, compulsive overeater in Northern California. When dealing with such a person, so who is this such a person? You know, for me, it was a person who wanted to lose weight, but I didn't come in to hear anyone's theological conceptions. I just wanted to lose weight. So I came to my first meeting clueless about 12 steps. I never heard of them, and I just wanted a diet plan to lose weight. I had no desire to hear about anyone's religious faith. And it says, don't raise such issues no matter what your own convictions are. And thank goodness for this direction because I wanted to lose weight. The pain motivated me. And I did lose weight. I made my phone calls, called my sponsor every day, wrote my food down, committed it to my sponsor, went to meetings, and I worked those wonderful tools. You know, they kept me busy and they kept me focused. So I stayed abstinent and I was thrilled. But because there was no focus on the 12 steps, not really, I was still pretty crazy in the head. So thankfully, I finally did, actually after several years, find someone who took me through the steps. And then I was blessed to find vision, you know, so blessed with understanding and being able to, you know, understand and live the 12 steps. So we all probably experience pain and fear throughout life, but the principles are a path of strength and resilience. You know, this is a huge perk that I experienced once I was taken through the 12 steps. You know, I was in a thin body and no longer having to listen to the crazy head chatter. So the paragraph above states that the main thing that we be willing to believe in a power greater than ourselves and that we live by spiritual principles. And, you know, so what are these spiritual principles of recovery? Acceptance, hope, faith, courage, honesty, patience, humility, willingness, love, integrity, self-discipline, and service. It's a lot to keep us busy. You know, I never in 100 years thought I'd be living by these principles when I came in only to lose weight. So our purpose is not to instruct anyone on religion, and it's great if someone has a strong religious faith, but it isn't necessary. I didn't have one, but I was able to grasp the concept of a power greater than myself. And we're told on page 55 in We Agnostics that deep down inside every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God. You know, God as you understand God. So it doesn't matter if you believe in Jesus, Buddha, Brahma, Allah, the supreme being. It's having a belief in a power and a connection with that power and knowing that that power appears in our lives every day. So when you call on God or spirit, he, she, that power responds. And the divine will appear in our lives every day. And that is truly the best part of all of this. And I pass. Thank you, Melanie.
Thank you very much, Kathleen. Oh, now I'd like to open up the lines for additional comments. You'll find us on page 93 in the chapter Working with Others of the Big Book. We are studying the first paragraph, which starts with when dealing with such a person and ends with no matter what your convictions are. If you'd like to share on that paragraph today, there are no absence requirements, so we encourage you to jump up here and talk about experience, strength, and hope here. I'd like to take your first name, the first letter of your last name, and your state. And although we do value everyone's experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might be able to share their experience as well. So if you have shared recently, step back and we'll get some newer names. Thanks.
Margaret O. from Connecticut.
Margaret O. Mm-hmm.
Jody E. from California.
Jody E., California. Good morning.
Hannah B. from Tennessee.
Hannah B., Tennessee.
Jordan L.
Sorry, Bell. Jordan L. Colorado.
Penny L.C.
Did I hear? Who else did I hear?
Penny L. from Washington State.
Sarit L. And then somebody from Washington State. Was that Penny?
Yes.
Okay, great. I got you. Okay, Sarit L. And I'm checking on time, so we may need be a little bit pinched towards the end, but we'll figure that out. So first up to share this morning is Margaret O. from Connecticut, followed by Jody E. Hey, good morning, Margaret.
Hi, everyone. This is Margaret O. from Connecticut. And, yeah, thanks, Melody, and everybody for being here. This is a difficult paragraph for me because I have spiritual convictions that are dear to me. And, of course, everyone's are dear to them. But it's, I mean, I would be lying if I held back and didn't say what is true. I mean, so there's like a truth, okay? There's truth, and it's not relative. And I feel like I'm preaching right now, so I don't want to do that. So HP, take over and let me speak however you feel I ought to would help my recovery and others. This is a spiritual program, and I'm a very rebellious soul and have offended my HP in many ways over the years and have been unaware of his love and his grace in my life and took a lot of it for granted and had entitlement. So I kind of have gone, I'm 66 and my journey brought me in a lot of different directions. And I'm now in a place where I started as a cradle Catholic. But anyway, it's hard for me to be authentic with people and be in integrity and to hold back because the truth will set you free. You know, I mean, it feels uncharitable not to say the truth. And there's so much confusion in the world right now with the lies and the confusion and the division and so much hatred that I'm just, I have to hold myself in reserve and just say, God, I'm trusting in your plan for me and for everyone else. And I'm powerless over this world. All I can do is turn my will and my life over to you as I understand you and, you know, live and let live and, you know, thank him continuously for so many blessings. I mean, everything around me, this program, I am 1 week in vision for you. And this has been such a blessing in my life. And it came right after a very traumatic episode with my family where I had to stand my spiritual ground and my truth in the light of hurting my family. Oh, so thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Margaret O. from Connecticut. Appreciate that. Next up, Jody E. from California, followed by Hannah B.
Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in California. So this was written, this paragraph, in the 1930s, when I'm guessing religion was much more commonplace and accepted, and many people had and practiced religion, whereas today, in 2023, in my experience, religion has become very suspect and not as popular as it was almost 100 years ago. I could be wrong about that, but that's my perception. So all the more true today that I do not want to arouse any prejudice by talking about using religious terms, religious language. Even the word God is so, makes some people bristle, unfortunately. However, I can. That's the good news, is that I can speak about spiritual principles without using religious terms. That is the good news. And those spiritual principles, I believe, are universal and are common to every religion. So I don't have to fear offending anyone if I just stick to spiritual principles. For example, the principle of surrender to something greater than myself, to the principle of honesty, willingness, open-mindedness, the principle of self-inventory, as opposed to blaming others, the principle of restitution, of taking responsibility for my actions and my inaction and trying to make amends. So that's the good news for me, that spiritual principles, if I stick to those without using religious terms, will be effective. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Jody E. from California. Next up, Anna B. from Tennessee, followed by Jordan L. from Colorado. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Hannah B. from Tennessee. Grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater. I love this book because, first of all, the greatest gift of these steps for me is that, and I always believed in God. I was enchanted as a child with the mystical, and I loved like stories of saints, and I was so mesmerized by it. And something happened, well, a few things happened along the way that colored my view and perception of God and made him very human and very unapproachable. And so these steps have given me an opportunity and the ability to have a relationship with this power within that's personal to me and me only. And, you know, I love that it has given me a way through my own experience of being able to support others, like it talks about with this language, everyday language, right? to describe spiritual principles. Because if we don't find this power and find a bigger God, then we stay in the smaller gods, you know, food and other things as they manifest for me. And I stay sick and I'll die in food and I'll die in my disease. And, you know, it's like we have to be willing to face ourselves, you know, and to find this power. And it says, you know, in the final analysis, it talks about the great reality deep down within, and in the final analysis, only there can it be found. And I don't know if I'm linking disjointed parts of the book together, but those are the words that just come to my mind. And I'm, you know, being able to, we do have all this prejudice, and I had so much prejudice and so many blocks and so many doubts and mistrust against God. And so to be able to connect with, you know, a fellow, and to be able to introduce this concept and make it very approachable for them, is such a beautiful gift, because then we get to see the lights come on in others and they get to find an access but gain access, not just a belief, but gain access to this power that's deep down within. And then the whole world opens up. And then our whole reality changes and we get to, you know, recover and get all the things that we were looking for in the food that weren't working. You know, and so I'm so grateful for this meeting and the ability to connect with you guys. And I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Hannah B. from Tennessee. Next up, Jordan L. from Colorado, followed by Sarit L. from Canada. Hi, Jordan.
Hey, good morning, Melanie. Thank you for moderating for us this morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. I'm very grateful to be abstinent on a meeting this morning. on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous this morning. I have a lot of gratitude for the 12 steps. I'm one of those hopeless alcoholics that these 12 steps changed the whole course of my life when I got sober 14 years ago. And I'm a hopeless compulsive overeater that these 12 steps, they again amazed me. It's 2023. So like 6 years ago when I got abstinent. So I have a lot of gratitude for this program. So I feel that, you know, like I feel that, and I feel it when folks on this line express that gratitude, right, for a higher power. but I try to remember. These are pretty like direct instructions here, right, about like how we talk about this, like using everyday language, talking about the spiritual principles, the 12 steps, right? And not arousing that prejudice that newcomers, that's who this paragraph is talking about. This paragraph is talking about newcomers. Some of the prejudice that newcomers may have around theological terms. And I say that as someone who most definitely had prejudice as a newcomer and still do it at times. I still get like a emotionally disturbed by theological things being theological terms being used in meetings, you know. I think meetings are definitely a place for the newcomer to come to hear the message of hope and courage, right? Like what this program is all about, and to feel safe within all of that, you know. And it's identifying here that I'll wrap up. Theological terms are not always like a safety zone for everyone, you know? So I think it's really important that we take that into consideration and remember what the basis of this program is. Freely given and freely received. That's the basis for all of this. So thank you for letting me share. That's all I got.
Thank you, Jordan L. from Colorado. Next up, Sarit L. from Canada. Followed by Penny LC. Your 3 minutes are now.
Hi, it's Sarit L. Do you hear me, Melanie?
I do, loud and clear. Come right on in.
Okay, thank you, Melanie, so much for your service. I'm a little nervous, but I'm also so full of gratitude, as spoken about before. Where would I be without these 12 steps? And it makes me want to cry. I'm a young mother, 34 years old, have 5 children and 5 miscarriages, just walked through one of them with the grace of God in my life and the support of my friends. And I share that because I would be nowhere without God. Like when life gets lifey, I need to enlarge my God. And that's that's what I keep on doing day after day. And the pain and the ache, God fills it. He fills it. And I'm shouting it out loud because for me, that's power. That's the power that I needed. On my own power, I was eating in the food. And when I hear, you know, meetings of hundreds of people who share their personal strength of not eating, and some people for days, some people for months, some people for years, there's a power out there. Somebody's doing something for us that we couldn't do on our own. And it starts with the food, and it starts and continues with the other areas of my life that all need God. And it's powerful. It's powerful. God speaks through all of you. God speaks through everything in the world. You know, it's just shouting out to me that there's a higher power that's taking care of me and rearranges and directs and guides one conversation with another at a specific time, everything that happens. And I have to just continue to pursue this God, because that gives me this power. And when I follow directions, I'm given access to that power. And I have one more minute of recovery within. And with that, I want to pass. Thank you so much for all of your service.
Thank you very much, Sarita L. from Canada. Appreciate that. Next up, Penny L.C. for 3 minutes. And it looks like we're going to have a little extra time to invite one more person. So get ready for that chance if you'd like to have that one before we close out. But good morning, Penny L.C. from Washington.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you for your service. And good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And in reflecting on this paragraph, I have to remember that, it's really a need to be careful not to tell anyone what to think, much less what to believe. I know that when I came in to program, I came in, I had been raised on being told what to think, what to believe. And so I certainly did not want to have someone else telling me what to think as well. That would have just, made me want to go the other direction. Instead, hearing open-ended questions that I could ask myself and having the freedom to explore my options as outlined was very welcomed. If I had heard religious tenets, I would have been completely turned off. And instead, I appreciated hearing the open-ended concept of a higher power and the freedom to choose any entity as a higher power, a greater power, as long as it wasn't me or my addictive substances or behaviors. Another aspect that I was offered in recovery was to consider being open to a new or a redefined concept of my greater power. This proved to be really valuable to me for my recovery. At that time, my image of and interactions with the God of my understanding turned out to be a problem for me. I wasn't being able to connect completely with that higher power. Instead, my higher power was judgmental, and I always felt I, couldn't go to that higher power because I was going to be judged. And I also felt that need to be perfect with that higher power. And of course, I never could reach that standard, so of course I didn't ever measure up. Instead, I was able to discover a new concept of a greater power. And then I was able to find a whole new understanding and appreciation for having this relationship that I have today. A warm and welcoming relationship that I treasure. Thank you for letting me share. And I
thank you. Thank you, Penny L.C. from Washington. Appreciate that. Hey, it looks like we have two and a half minutes before we close out the recorded portion of the meeting. If you'd like to share on paragraph 1, page 93, the time is available for you.
Nancy J.
You got it, Nancy J. Let's go with about 2.5, okay?
Thank you so much. Thank you for moderating.
No, you're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Good morning, everyone. Great meeting. Love the shares. To me, this paragraph just says, as so much of it does, just keep it simple. When I'm, you know, talking to a newcomer. And I try not to talk about God too much at all. I mean, of course, I talk about my higher power. You know, I mentioned, you know, I more than mention my higher power, but I just try to keep it simple. I've been in program 11 years, and my most recent relapse 7 months ago, I was following God, but God was me. And it took me almost 11 years to figure that out. And, you know, if you're talking to someone that's following their lower thinking, their self, their God, them, they don't want to give that up. They're going to hold on to it like a bone, right? So, so much freedom once I figured out I have a higher power and it's not me. So, and I remember being a newcomer in the meetings and, just wanting to know how to put down the donuts, you know? So a lot of flowery language I don't think is helpful. So anyway, that's it. Thank you all. So grateful for Overeaters Anonymous, so grateful for Vision, and thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Nancy J. Hey, that gave us, well, let's see, maybe not. I was going to squeeze out another 60 seconds there. If you don't mind, let's move that over then to give it to those that are going to be giving announcements and getting information about newcomers and sponsor contact info, if you don't mind, and we can begin the process of closing out the recorded portion of the meeting. And I'd like to invite Penny L.C. to read from the big book on page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. And then we will follow that with the group sharing the Serenity Prayer together, if you would like, as we transition to the last 10 minutes of the unrecorded portion of the meeting. Don't go anywhere. We still have lots to go. So in the meantime, Penny L.C., would you please read from page 164 for us? Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Melanie. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right. And great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.